You're listening to the Fox Den Sports Podcast. Now, here are your hosts, Todd and his three sons, Kellen, Garrett, and Gannon.
Welcome back to our 100th episode of the Fox Den Sports Podcast, along with my two oldest sons, Kellen and Garrett. I am Todd Fox, and we are the Fox Den Sports Podcast. And we've got our Dallas Cowboys insider, Diego's Varsay, as well with us to celebrate our 100th episode. And then I have a special, Gannon will be making a special showing here later on at the end. So whenever you hear a lot of crazy stuff, we were going to put him at the beginning, but now we're doing the end. Nothing against Gannon, obviously. It's just because we got a lot of bedlam and KU stuff to talk about with Oklahoma. So we want to make sure that he gets his due, because he's he'll tell you where he's at. But with today marking our 100th episode, hey, we don't have the numbers anymore. But I will tell you what I remember about Halloween football, October 31st, 1988. Eric Dickerson scored four touchdowns in a 45-10 route of the it was a Monday night game against Denver, John Elway. It was one of I'm pretty sure it was one of his first games. I'm not saying it was his first, but against four Colts whenever he got traded. And he went off. He went nuts. I was at a Halloween costume kind of a party, and not really. I don't know if it was a party, but it was like a dance club, which I wasn't supposed to go to dance clubs, but I was at a dance club, and I was watching Dickerson just run all over the field. It was pretty cool. But that's what I remember this day in history. 1988 was Brent Baker, and I think Scott Moore was another guy from Jinx, Scott Proctor, some other guys that I know. And it was pretty fun. But that's what I remember on Halloween 1988.
Well, what a night.
Yeah, it was a good night. It was good. So very, very happy with it. Let me ask you this. So real quick, before we get into the games and stuff, what's your Halloween candy? Like, what do you like to see when you were a little kid, or even now? Like, what's your candy? What do you want?
Reese's. Halloween, not Halloween, any day of the week, any time of the day. Boom. Reese's.
I think I'm a Snickers guy.
I would say three Musketeers. But honestly, just any king size candy bar on Halloween was what made the night, honestly.
Oh, if you got a king size.
You get 100%. King size, you know where to go if you want to go get a king size candy bar.
We had a neighborhood like that. We had a neighborhood
like that. Three Musketeers? Are you kidding?
Diego loves the nougat.
It's just all chocolate, and it's perfect for me.
Have you ever tried Milky Way, though? It's like a Three Musketeers with a hint of extra flavor.
Milky Way's good, too.
Here's my question, though. Like, honestly, think about this for a second. Shouldn't Milky Way be what the Three Musketeers is, and Three Musketeers is Milky Way?
Because there's three flavors, is that what you're
saying? Because if you think about Milky Way, if you bite into a Milky or a Three Musketeers, it looks like a Milky Way. If you bite into a Three Musketeers, it's got chocolate, it's got caramel, and it's got nougat. Three Musketeers. Think about that.
Have you ever seen a picture of the Milky Way?
You've been to a Milky Way?
No, I'm not.
Can you tell me what a Milky Way is?
Did we even land on a moon?
I don't think we landed on the moon. But that's just me. But hey, anyway, Reese's is it. I mean, if you pick anything but Reese's, you're nuts. I do like a little chocolate. What is it? Peanut
nougat.
Peanut M&Ms. When I was in high school and in college, they used to make a candy bar called Bar None. Look it up. One of the best candy bars of all time. Why?
They don't make it anymore.
No, they don't. I don't understand.
Like, they don't make it, or you just don't see it?
No, they don't make it anymore. And it was really good. So I know whenever I went to college, Nan and Papa bought me a big old thing of it at Sam's. They were probably gone in about 2 weeks, but it's still good. So
Do you ever have a Charleston's chew?
No, I have not. What is that?
I've never had it before. I just thought of it. I hear it's a pretty good candy.
They're okay.
Though.
You just made it up for one.
I tried. That was Peyton's favorite candy, and he'd always have it, and you'd be chewing that thing for hours.
That's funny.
Payday's good. Payday's good, but if you ever have, I hate candy corn, but if you have candy corn with peanuts, it tastes like Payday.
I don't like candy corn, but Payday's not bad. Whatchamacallit? A little whatchamacallit?
Oh, whatchamacallit's good. Yeah, whatchamacallit's good. Twix, Kit Kat, Butterfingers, and ice cream. But Garrett's more of a, aren't you kind of more of a little sour or no?
I mean, used to. I don't get a whole lot of that stuff anymore, though, to be honest. But
Gannon is.
I don't get candy often either. Mr. Goodbar. That's a good one.
Yeah. Here's my question. Why would somebody get a Hershey's bar without like almonds or something? It's just like, really? Why?
And their chocolate's not that good either. Yeah. So it's just kind of a waste.
It's not.
I'd rather get like a nice German chocolate with like almonds or something. That's
German chocolate.
$5 at Walmart. But
are you talking about German chocolate with coconut or no?
I'm not a big coconut guy.
No, I can't stand coconut. Mounds, Almond Joy, no shot. So your mom's favorite is a Zero Bar.
I don't know if I've ever had one. I always saw her eat one and I never tried it.
Are you serious? They're really good.
They look expensive.
Yeah, anyways. They are
expensive. That's why I buy it for her, because she's worth every dime. Let's move on. I really don't want to talk a whole lot about it, but we need to talk about it. OU Kansas. We went up there. I expected a win, expected to be fine with it and win by 10 points, but we did not. What was the reaction of you guys? And after, 3 days now? Have you calmed down? Are you good now?
No.
Yeah, no, not really. I think I was doing good, and then we hopped on the podcast, and all the anger just came back, you know?
Good.
Why? I'm angry.
Why? What happened in this game?
That was probably the best I've ever taken a game, just because. Yeah. I mean, from
the worst I've taken it.
Really?
I was ticked.
from the beginning. Like, you could just tell something was not right with us, and if we would have won, it's like, okay, great, we didn't deserve it. But since we lost and it looked like we were going to lose for the entire game, it's like, okay.
It wasn't.
I was expecting this for how long that game lasted, for the last 6 hours because of the rain delay and everything. But I don't know, man. Why was that the worst one for Kellen?
Because I got my. This is the year, and it's still the year. But like, it's just every week, my expectations and hopes went up after every single win. It was just crushing, because it was like, out of all the teams to lose to, we lose to this team. Like, and our defense played a decent game. They did let up points, but our offense had 3 turnovers. Well, special teams as well, but like 3 turnovers, and our defense forced 3 turnovers. So it's like they did everything they could. Our offense just didn't help them out. So I was just, every opportunity was there. How do you get an interception with like, 2 minutes and 15 seconds left within the 50, and you don't move the ball like more than a couple yards, if that? I don't even remember. How do you do that while being up and not figure something out?
That right there showed how little faith our coaching staff has in our offense. Little faith. You can't go and get a first down and play for a first down.
But why are we only running the ball, acting as if like we have a shot of wasting the clock? Unless we break one out, they have timeouts and they have the timeouts. We are not about to like waste the whole clock for them, and we're not close enough. We know we're not close enough for a field goal. We need probably 25 yards to get a field goal at that point. Like, I just don't understand why we didn't play more aggressive. Like, Dylan Gabriel, like, I don't remember how many passes he ended up, but I remember looking, he was like 11 for 13.
19 passes.
14 to 19 total.
Yeah, so by the end, like, granted, he threw a pick six first drive, but, like, since then he goes, like, not a lot of incompletions, but just not a lot of attempts, and I just don't understand. I just don't understand what we were doing there.
I think he had 7 passes on that final drive. So he only had 12. He only had 11 after the interception.
That's insane.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, that whole morning, even before the game started, I was feeling nervous. And like when I saw the weather and the temperature up there and like how everything is, I'm just like, this is that trap game. And I was already thinking to myself, it's either Kansas or OSU. I was like, we're going to lose one of these two games, get it over with. So like I took the loss better than I expected, but I think it's because I prepared myself. Because I was feeling those nerves, and then as soon as I saw the pick six, then the rain delay, I was like, "This is on our game. Kansas is going to win this game," and I knew it. And for a sec, I thought when the delay happened, I was like, "All right, these boys are going to wake up because they didn't come out with energy or anything and ready to win this game." But I was wrong. I think the delay hurt us. I think the momentum was always on Kansas' side, and the only time we had the momentum is when we got that pick with 2 minutes left. And Jeff Lebby is going to continue to be conservative and not be aggressive when you have Dylan Gabriel, who's been, and I've been talking
perfect all year,
talking bad about him, not believing in him. And at that moment, I was like, put the ball in the quarterback's hand that's been performing all year and let him get us a first down to win this game. And like the defense, yeah, we let up technically 31 points because the offense gave them 7, but the defense still forced 3 turnovers. You can't ask a defense to get a stop every single drive. Okay. They're going to eventually score, but the defense did everything they could to win that game. At the end of the day, it was on Jeff Lebby and the offense.
Here's kind of what I'm looking at. We gave up 12 points on turnovers. All right. And I know we scored, I believe, off a turnover, off one of their turnovers, but we gave up 12. There's 12 right there. We had the dumb penalty, when we stop them at the goal line. If it doesn't make that hit, I don't know whether or not they go for it or kick it, but hypothetically, if they go for it and they don't get it, they're still on 12. But if they kick it, that's not that instead of being 7 or 6, or I don't know if they went for 2 on that one or not. I can't remember. I think they went for 2, but anyway, it's a difference of maybe 15 points that we basically kind of handed to them. When we turn the ball over, in our own territory, and we got some turnovers in their territory, but that last one, we could not capitalize on it. So here's the thing, like the whole game, I promise you, of course, there's a little bit of uneasiness, but I felt confident. I thought, okay, we're gonna pull it out. And then I'm sitting. I was at work, and I went in the break room and watched. Where Downs makes the interception. I'm like, okay, there we go, we're good. Now, and I look, I saw they got 3 timeouts. Okay, well, we'll be able to pick up a first down. My personal opinion, I would have. Easy to say, after the fact, but I think I would have tried to do some sort of pass on first down. But you got to make sure you complete that pass. I get it. Anything can happen, because then everybody's going to be roasting him because, oh, he tried to pass and he ran the clock or whatever. I mean, hypothetically, let's say they would have passed. Hypothetically. And it got incomplete. Still stops the clock. I know it saves them a timeout and all that kind of stuff, but it's possible, like, they score earlier and we have more time on the clock when we go. I mean, there's a lot of things that
could. No, but either way, you throw the ball, you're probably getting a first down.
No, I don't disagree.
Even if you throw 2 into completions, you get on the 3rd 1.
You've got to put the ball in the guy who's brought you the whole time there. And, yeah, I agree with you, Diego. Like, I haven't been the biggest proponent of Gabriel. But after Texas, I was like, okay, this guy's got it. He's got the moxie. He'll be the guy that can make it happen. But they didn't do it. You got to put the ball in the hands. And for whatever reason, and I'm not going to bust on Lebby too much, other than the fact that, I mean, I think that first interception completely made him go into some sort of a shell. It had to have. Because if you would have told us before the game, turnover battle would have been even, and we rushed for 200, what was it, 250, close to it anyway?
270.
Yeah. I would have said, okay, we're probably going to win this ball game. But it was just, it was just bad. There were some bad play calling. I'll give it that. But at the same time, you got to give it to the guy Put it in Dillon Gabriel's hands. Let's see what he can do. If hypothetically, if we would have tried a field goal instead of punting that ball, how far would that have been? Like a 52, 53 yarder? I think his high is a 45. He probably doesn't make it anyway, but I'm like, okay, if I don't know, man.
He punted straight into the end zone. So, like,
and that's a problem.
I feel like we could have taken a shot.
That's a problem, too, because then it goes into the end zone. So it was only, 20, 25 yards or so field position?
We were at the 35, and then we were lined up out there to go for it on 4th and 7. The Nick Anderson false started,
yeah.
So the it would have been like a 47 yarder, 47, well, okay. 48 yarder.
And that's what I'm saying. We could have, I mean, again, I'm saying everything after the fact, and it's easy for me to say that. But if he kicks it, even if he misses, they go down and score. Maybe we have a little bit more time. I don't know. I don't have any idea, but because we could have let him. I mean, because I personally think we let him score that last touchdown.
It was obvious. Yeah. You
know? No, so we had to. There was no. All they needed was a field goal, and we had two timeouts.
And I agree 100%. I don't disagree with the call. All I'm saying is we could have let him score earlier if we would have missed the field goal, or we could have made the daggum field goal. I don't know. I'm not a fan. I know Garrett. I don't know. You and I kind of were talking about it a little bit, but I'm not a big fan of the going for twos and stuff like that. We're chasing points. I mean, if you're going to go for two, obviously you have to make it. You can't miss it. And did we miss two?
I think we missed three.
Yeah.
But there was also, to me, what I was getting frustrated by was early in the game when we tried to go for it on like 4th and 2 twice, two possessions in a row. We could have just taken the field goal. That would have been 6 points.
Yeah.
That's another thing, though. That just shows how little faith they have in our kicker.
Right. They have no faith in the kicker. That we should have just, at least one of those, just gone ahead and taken the points.
Yes.
Like, we're down 14-0. Just go ahead and make it 14-3, 14-6, and then we start scoring those touchdowns. Yeah. Completely different game.
Kick extra points. I agree.
When you miss a fourth down conversion, all the momentum that you thought you had is completely gone. But then at the very end, I don't know. Our defense did everything they could, but they at the very end, they had three things. There was the one, I can't remember who it was, the possession. It was the possession when when Kansas threw the last pick, but like two plays before, we dropped a wide open pick six. If we get that, that's game. Two, on that last drive, we had two botched fourth downs. Like one, that second one was like, what was it? Like 4th and what?
It was fourth and six or seven or something like that. Like, yeah.
And they were hurrying and they were running tempo. So they're hurrying up. Yeah. And I mean, Brent Venables said it after the game. He should have called a timeout there and
should have
slowed their momentum down and get the defense set. And I think if you would have done that, we would have gotten it stopped there.
Well, yeah.
they broke like a – that was like a deep pass where they got –
it was like a 30, 40-yarder.
Yeah. No, that's basically what ended the game, wasn't it? Because it was like he goes, runs, steps out, and then it's just like – at that point, I thought we lost for sure. I didn't expect us to let them score and them to take the opportunity. Right. I thought they were just going to waste the clock and hit the field goal.
He should have called a timeout at that point. Here's an issue. Third quarter – 12:06 left in the third quarter. It's 4th and 8, and we have the ball on the 47. And the clock on our own 47, we're in punting formation. Here goes the time clock, and he calls timeout. Why? It's 5 yards, and you still punt the ball. You could have saved that timeout.
That made no sense to me.
That made no sense at all.
It was just terrible clock management the whole second half. I don't know what happened.
We went from lining up to do a punt
to
taking a delay a game because one of our freshmen wasn't ready.
Right.
To, I don't know what happened the second time, but yeah, it was pathetic. Pathetic.
You go into the game, KU's ranked 78th in pass defense, 78th. And we throw the ball until the final drive, 12, 13 times? That's it? Really? Come on. It doesn't make any sense. I mean, it was pathetic. I mean, but the thing is, like, what I don't get is that, you know, there's OU fans that are, hey, fire Levy. They're not going to fire Levy for that. I mean, so stop, quit acting, you know, just because OU loses a ball game, you don't get flip out and get all mad. And you can't do that.
Even with, like, we lost the game, we had a lot of stuff not go our way. And I'm not saying, like, for me too, personally, I think we had the refs on our side even, personally, and we still lost, which sucks even more. But we still had a lot go against us with the turnovers and stuff like that, and Kansas playing one of their best games and who knows how long and beating us. But two things really quick. Jaron Kanick, probably the worst coverage linebacker I've ever seen. Key Lawrence, I don't know why he's on the field, because he can't catch anything, he can't tackle, and he can't cover
anything.
If
he picks that ball
off, him off the field.
He
is the worst safety we have out of Bowman, out of Bowen, out of Reggie Pearson, and out of, honestly, probably even Reggie Spears Jennings. Like, put Deson back there if you have to. This guy, Key Lawrence, is bad, and he has been bad for 4 or 5 years now.
I will say, I think injuries also affected us that game.
Yeah.
Danny Stutzman going out hurts us.
Where was Bowen?
Didn't even play.
Bowen didn't even play, right?
I don't think so, did he?
He played barely, but again, Gentry didn't play at all.
Gentry didn't play, and he's been one of our best corners. And Pearson's got ejected after that hit, right?
Yeah, he did.
So he'll be out the first half.
So he'll be out the first half of Saturday. And we will get into that later. But, I mean, injuries affected us. Losing Danny Stutzman, who's been playing as one of the best linebackers in the country, the leader of our defense, I would say, losing him hurts. And even though that Kip Lewis played good,
he played really good
after he came in and stepped up. And I just think that really affected us.
You're missing the vocal guy in the defense.
You're talking about Stutzman?
Yeah. With Stutzman.
Yeah,
exactly. The guy that's charging those guys, that's telling them what, you know, fixing adjustments on the field. But I just think those injuries affected us through that game. And like I said earlier, like I've been saying, the past times I've been on the podcast with you guys, like, I am no question not worried about our defense. If our defense is going out there, I'm like expecting a turnover, I'm expecting stops, and they perform. Okay, and I understand that offenses are going to score, but they perform. Every game they perform. It's that offense that I've been questioning all season. Are they going to be able to score when they need to? And I just think they didn't Saturday.
Not Saturday, no. I mean, you score 33 points, you should win.
which I've said, too, this season, like, several games we've seen, when we have to score, we go and score.
For whatever
reason, again, going back to that final, not the final drive, but the one where we got the Ethan Downs got the pick and we run it three straight times, I don't think we felt like we had a score, and I don't know why.
I truly felt like the coaching staff felt like we were going to win the ball game the whole time. That's why we ran the ball. They were just going to try to keep the momentum, or well, not even really momentum, but keep running the football. Thought they were going to come out of KU with a win. And you know, it didn't happen. I felt like that's what they felt. They were too conservative, man. Take some shots down the field. And then I think it was the 4th and 7, or maybe right before that. I know it was 4th and 7. And, Anderson moved. I don't remember if it was that play before that or if that, whatever. I know for a fact Stoops and Nick Anderson weren't on the field. And they had two. We had two tight ends. We had Gavin Freeman. We had Gibson, and then Farouk. I believe, you know what I mean. And like, you got to get Stoops. Don't have Freeman out there. Have Stoops out there. Throw him the daggum ball. You got to have Nick Anderson. I mean, and the if you watch replays of the pick that Gabriel throws, the pick six, right when he basically releases it. Almost simultaneously or whatever, Nick Anderson's breaking away. Like, he would have been able to hit Anderson for a touchdown if he completes it.
He just predetermined that. Right when he snapped the ball, he's like, I'm throwing there.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, I think Stoops was his first read and Stoops wasn't there. So then he went to the second read in Farouk.
Stoops was like, if he throws it to Stoops, he catches it.
I'm pretty sure there's a linebacker coming up underneath.
Well, yeah, but, you're right. Underneath. Yeah, there was. There was a line. Yeah, there was. You're right.
But to go back to Gavin Freeman, like, that setup, for whatever reason, I think they were hoping, like, oh, we've done this sweep with Gavin Freeman 15 times this game, so they'll probably think we're going to do it again. Like, it didn't work once that game, and if they thought we were going to do it then, they were going to stop it, so they didn't even worry about it. That was a play that is broken from the beginning that we just kept hammering and hammering and hammering for no reason 100%. At all.
100%. Too conservative. Way too conservative this game, but it's KU. It's over. I know we're they just came out with a college football playoff, and what are we ranked?
A 9.
9. Who's
Kansas is Kansas 21.
I saw that. And then Oregon's ahead of us, Texas. I know Ohio State's 1. Was it Michigan 2? Is that right?
Georgia 2.
Georgia 2.
Michigan 3?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, Florida State 4.
Okay. So those guys, so there it is right there. You got to win out to even have a shot and hope for some things happen.
They still give us the 6th best chance of making it. So that's putting us in front of Texas, Alabama, Washington, and Oregon. So,
well, I will tell you, they've got to get by Oklahoma State. And I don't know about you. I'm concerned. So what do you guys think for this game? It's a 2:30 kickoff. Is that right?
Which I was just about to say, we got saved by that.
Yes.
For sure.
Meaning you're glad it's not a night game?
Yes. Yeah, as fun as it would be to watch the night game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Going into that environment night 100%, game. 100%, absolutely
100%.
Not. 100%. The line, I think, is 5.5.
Yeah, it's 5.5 or 6.5.
Yeah. So us favored, obviously. Personally, I think they're in better shape right now. I think they're obviously the hotter team.
Sure.
I mean, I know we just came off a loss, but even if we would have won the way they've been beating teams and the teams they've been beating, for instance, they just beat Cincinnati, 45-13, who we barely beat. I mean, barely by 2 scores. They beat Kansas a couple weeks ago by a touchdown. Lost to Iowa State, and that's their last loss. Like, they beat Kansas State, who's a really good team. So they're on a roll. That quarterback's got things figured out, and their running back all of a sudden is in the Heisman race.
Sure, for sure. Going back to what Diego said a minute ago, hypothetically, I know it didn't mean anything, but if you had to choose between losing to Kansas and losing to OK State, you're probably going to choose Kansas.
Yeah, you're taking Kansas.
Right? Yeah, you know of course.
Mean? So
given that, well, not any year, I'm probably taking them, but last time too, like,
yeah, of course.
I'm not choosing us to lose the last.
You battle. Know, Gundy's going to have those guys fired up. They are going to be fired.
Yeah, but if we should come out there fired up, and if we come out there fired 100%. Up like Texas, it's not even going to be close.
100%.
I agree. It that loss probably only helped our odds.
Yeah, it could have.
Hopefully, but I don't know. I feel like we should. After beating Texas, we should have kept that fire for the rest of the year.
Exactly.
I don't know why they should come after Texas. It's felt like we just kind of calmed down.
Every game we should have been excited. Like,
you're 100%.
I've been thinking this since the UCF game, which is only 2 weeks ago. Like, more and more of last year starting to bleed into this year. And on Saturday, if you would ask me, I would not be surprised if we lost 2 more games.
Yeah.
As time has passed, I'm still having hope, but we looked at a lot like last year, the last 2 weeks, and that is not a good sign at all. Yeah. Last year, it just happened to only take us 4 games to break. This season, maybe only 8. Who knows? But it has not been a good
I'm
showing.
I'm concerned. I'm not gonna lie.
You guys might call me crazy after what I'm about to say.
Let's hear it.
But I'm seeing you know that I watched like some of the press conferences at this week. You know, when BV talks to the media. He took that loss to heart. He really did. And I know this. I know that he probably, him and Jeff Lebby had a talk. And he even said that they plan on throwing the ball a lot more this game than normal. If I'm going to be honest, I don't think Saturday is going to be a close game.
Really?
I'm going to be real. I think these guys are going to show up. I think BV ripped into them this week. I think they're going to have a good week of practice. If I'm going to be honest, I don't – all you got to do is stop Ollie Gordon and have Alan Bowman win you a game. And you can even ask OSU fans and they don't even believe in that guy.
He can't move, even, right? Is he more like a state? No. Like, yeah, I didn't think
he's staying in the pocket. Pocket passer.
That's what I thought. Because the other guy, one of the other guys, I can't remember which one it was, Gundy or one of the whatever, Ringel, one of them's can kind of do both, and then Ringel only run and not throw. So
he can't move, and he's not even that good of a pocket passer. And OSU fans will tell you that. All you gotta do is stop pressure on him.
Yeah.
100%. You stop Ollie Gordon, they have nothing.
We need stuff. He's got what,
500-600 yards the last 2 weeks?
Yeah,
combined. Like,
you got to load the box, stop the run, and have Alan Bowman win you a game or beat you.
Yeah,
and because their secondary is not that well, we got to come out, throw the ball, and I'll tell you guys, I'll even say it on here. I guarantee a win Saturday for the Oklahoma Sooners, and I think it's by more than 10. I think they're going to show up. I think the defense is going to shut Ollie Gordon down. I mean, I still believe Ollie Gordon, he's a Heisman guy.
He's Heisman good.
Candidate. I still think he'll have a good game. Like, those are guys that you can't just completely shut down, but you can shut down to where he can't help his team win. And I think that's what we're going to do. I feel really confident in hearing BV talk this week to the media and just seeing how people are going to respond. Gentry Williams is back. That's going to be big. Danny Stutzman said he's ready to go. BV said he's a game time decision. I think he's going to play Saturday. He's not going to miss that game. Peyton Bowen's going to be definitely playing the field more. I mean, Kit Lewis is going to be playing, even if Danny Stutzman's hurt. He's going to be helping. Sure. I'm not as worried or don't feel as nervous as I felt last week going up to Kansas. I've talked to OSU fans, and they think we're going to go up there and beat the heck out of them.
Do they really?
Wow. Yeah.
I will say, so far this year, our defensive line has consistently gotten to the quarterback. Their quarterbacks are just mobile enough to get out of it and make something happen. Like we've been saying, like that Bowman's guy or whatever is not a mobile quarterback. So we're going to put a lot of pressure on him. So it just depends on if he can throw the ball under pressure accurately. So I think we'll have quite a few sacks. I think see us having 4 or 5 at least.
We better.
This is cliche, but we got to win the turnover battle. We can't afford to have any kind of turnovers ourselves. And hypothetically, again, I know you don't want to have a turnover, but don't have it in your own side of the field. I'm not saying I want them to have one, you know, OSU's 20, but I'm just saying, just if you're going to have one, I mean, make him earn it to go back down the field. Not give them a short field. But we'll see. That'll be I think Gundy will have him fired up, but I mean, to your point, I'm expecting Venables to have him fired up as well. So I'm just telling you, I would still love to see a little bit of Jackson Arnold. I know it's not gonna happen. I'd like to see a little bit of it just because my concern is like at some point is he going to play in a pressure situation? Is it not going to be till next year and it's against Alabama? Like, and it's really pressure. I mean, I'd love to see him in some sort of an Oklahoma State atmosphere where it's a little bit of a struggle, you know, and just see if he can do a drive or two. I don't know. I know it's not going to happen, but I just wish I'd see something like that.
Yeah. I mean, getting him reps would be great, but I mean, I agree with you.
They're not going to put him in a pressure situation unless Gabriel's out. Yeah,
no, exactly. And I don't mean, but you know what I mean? Like in a game to where I 100%, I agree with you. I understand what you're saying, but I'm just saying like in a road game, a rival game, you know, maybe in to where it matters. Now, I know if it's, you know, third quarter and fourth quarter and, you know, we put him, it's not going to happen. I get it. But it'll be interesting.
I'd love to see him play, but yeah.
I think he's just that guy that he's not going to look like a first year guy next year anyways, like in those pressure situations.
I hope you're right.
So, and I think they think that as well.
We'll see, man.
And about the games, you know, against OSU, I mean, Mike Gundy, I don't know. I think he's a great coach, but something when he plays OU, I don't know what he does.
Yeah.
I think he just becomes very conservative and very safe. And I know he probably really wants to win this game, but he's probably going to still do what he usually does and be really conservative during that game. I especially with having Bowman, and I think they're going to have to use him a lot more this week to win, because that D-line and Stutzman and those guys, they're going to be putting pressure on him, on Ollie Gordon, and stopping him. Alan Bowman's going to have to throw the ball, and I don't think Mike Gundy really wants that.
He always goes conservative in the years that he shouldn't and that he could beat us, and he's always aggressive in the years that he has no business being aggressive. Like, yeah. I don't know. He loses the years we should definitely not beat them. Like last year, we should not have beat them, and we absolutely smoked them.
What's the over under of 1.5 of OSU scoring more than 50-yard plays? Like, I'm thinking they're going to have at least two plays that are over 50 yards that they score on.
No chance.
You know, I mean, that's
like Diego said, I think Bowen's going to play more, and
he needs to play the whole game.
He's the best athlete on the team.
Sure.
Alan Bowman to make a good deep pass. I don't see Ollie Gordon breaking out for like a 60-yard rush. If I'm BV and I'm the DC of the Sooners, your job is to stop Ollie Gordon. So I don't see him breaking the 60. And if he does, it's because he's an extreme athlete and he's just a good football player. But I agree. I think Bowman's going to be playing. And when I have Bowman in the secondary, I mean, I feel great. So
100%. Kellen, what are your thoughts?
I think we'll smoke him.
Do you really? Okay.
The last time we're
talking about Kellen,
we're going to come out. We're going to realize we were playing too conservative the last couple of weeks. We're going to get that fire back. It's another rivalry, so we're going to come out there with that fire. It's not even going to be close. It's not even going to be one of those games that we're worried about in that first quarter.
That's what I'm talking about.
We got to come out
41-13. 41-13. We're going to be up 41-6. And then they're going to get some garbage points at the very end of the game just because they can, because we have some backups in. But it's going to be 41-30.
Those fans are going to be leaving the stadium early.
What are your
Diego, guys? Are you going to it?
Our starters will be leaving the stadium early.
I'll be in Stillwater, but I won't be at the game.
That's bold.
But I'm going to be quiet.
Prediction.
No, my score prediction. Because once we go up 21-3 in the first quarter, you're going to be like,
I'm going to go 35-32 Oklahoma. I think they need to prove me wrong. They have not done anything in the last 2 weeks to say that we're any better than they are. So
you're right. But we have proven to, I feel like, the whole country, we can be one of those top teams, because what we did, we came into the Red River game and showed that we are a good football team. I'm not saying we're a national championship team, but I'm saying we're a really good football team. And I think that team's going to show up Saturday. I guarantee you. I'm thinking it's going to be like 41-21 Oklahoma. Like I'm with Kellen, man. I don't think it's going to be close.
I mean, I hope so, but they beat the team we just lost to. So,
yeah, but you see that all the time. That's just football.
100%.
Yeah, but I mean, it goes for something.
And we didn't. Kansas
they
didn't
dropped
beat
40.
Us. We lost. They're not a better team than us.
No, I agree. But the way they came to play, and with the refs handing us a lot of things, again, I get that we had a lot more flags on us that game.
But that's what. But we had the opportunity, and we didn't take it, so we lost.
We fumbled it within the 10-yard line. They blessed us by saying they ruled us down beforehand. And
what happened on the one drive? I know there was 30 yards of penalty right at one time, wasn't there? And then I think there was another. I think there was 45-yard total penalties on one drive, and one of them was on the
sideline.
It was Beedenbow, so it was.
Yeah, I think it was.
It was Beedenbow.
I don't remember what – I know they scored.
Yeah.
But I don't remember which drive that was. I think that might have been to take the lead over us like 31, 33 or 32 or something like that. I don't know. Yeah. But
no, because we were 33. They were 32. No?
Yeah.
33, 31. Yeah, because they got to 38. Okay. Okay, OSU did beat Kansas, but we cannot. Kansas is a good football team. They're not like the Kansas.
I don't. Yes. Like, yes.
They're ranked now. Like the committee looks at that loss and say, you know, that's not a bad loss. That's a 21th ranked team in the country, and the committee believes in them. So I think that's a good loss that we had. Like it was bad. We shouldn't have lost. But also, yeah, they beat Cincinnati. What would you say, 41 to 10?
13.
Okay, but it was 10 to 7 at halftime. And I watched that game. And once again, Ollie Gordon is the reason that they won that game. But the only reason the Cincinnati game was close with us is because our offense couldn't score. So if our offense can score Saturday, it's not going to be a close game. Because I don't think their offense can handle our defense.
Real quick, though, Kansas was ranked when Oklahoma State beat them. Kansas was unranked when we lost, which, again, doesn't really mean anything. But that means
– you know, that's the AP poll, though.
Do
Who
what?
Cares? That's the AP poll.
Yeah, but still, whenever the college football playoff's looking at our record and they say we only have one ranked win.
That's going to be two by the end of the year.
Man, we're not going to the playoff. I'm just telling you.
It'll be three by the end of the year when we win the Big 12 championship.
I love them, but they're not going to the playoff.
Wait. Okay, so if they
let's talk about that really quick.
If they beat OSU, like me and Kellen are saying, you don't think they can go to the playoffs?
No.
I don't know. I would say this. I think if we win out, finishing 11-1 with, like you said, three ranked wins at that time, that means I would say you're getting the SEC championship between probably going to be Bama or Georgia. You're going to get Michigan or Ohio State. They're not going to choose both of them this year. And then it just depends on it. Florida State keeps winning. And I think the Pac-12, I don't think we're going to see a Pac-12 team because they're
Washington's going to lose at least two games.
Washington might lose Saturday.
They've got the toughest part of their schedule ahead of
them. So I would say
we're not going.
Like I said in our Instagram post at Fox and Sports, go ahead and follow us. The season is still like our team is still has the capability to go as far as we want to go.
What were our records when we went to the college football playoffs like 3 or 4 years in a row?
It was always we always had one loss. And it was always a loss to a team that we shouldn't have lost to.
Every time.
I will say, as much as I agree, this year is a little different because the Pac-12 actually has a good team, and so does the ACC outside.
But by the end of the year, it's going to be completely different.
Pac-12's got two good teams. I understand what you're saying, but I think Washington and Oregon are both really good.
Washington's going,
but they're not
going to
pick them both.
Game or two.
No. They're not going to pick them both. But I could see Oregon going.
Here's the thing: is if we well, Oregon's have to. Oregon has to be. Oregon has to win the Pac-12 championship if they want a chance.
I think,
and they might not. Win the Pac-12.
I think it happens.
And the thing is, we're going to have three ranked. We're going to have a good resume if we win. If we win Saturday, and then if whoever we play in the Big 12 championship, I mean, it could be Kansas State. Kansas State could beat Texas Saturday.
It's at Austin, but
they still have their backup in.
The backup's playing. Kansas State's got a good coach. I just think they've had some really rotten luck this year. All right, my prediction. Oklahoma 31, Oklahoma State 30. It's going to be close. I'm going to be – that's. But this is one game I'm going to be really nervous on, and it's going to be close all the way. And I just hope we can obviously pull it out. So that's my prediction.
My good buddy Ted Lasso once told me to believe. I think you should believe as well, Todd.
I believe it's going to be a tough game, but yeah, we'll see. It'll be fun. I can't wait. I'm on vacation starting Friday. So hopefully I'll be able to, go to church the next day, a little pep in my step, after a victory over Oklahoma State.
A little something to be thankful for.
Yeah. Well, I'm thankful for a lot of things. One, being the Foxman, sports podcast, and then obviously my great family and friends that we have. So the foes, I don't know, you know.
Yeah, but imagine an Oklahoma win.
Oh, again, to the fan, to everyone watching, drop your score predictions in the comments. Let us know how you're feeling about the game. Let us know how you're feeling about the rest of the season. If you think we should if we have a chance to make the playoffs, and if you had the choice to, would you even want to make the playoffs?
Yeah, there's a chance, but I just don't – I don't think it's going to happen.
Okay.
And if you're crazy and you say you don't want us to make the playoffs.
No. Well, fair. But reason I say that, say we win out still, but we don't make it, and then we play a really good team in the
Penn State.
In the New Year's Six Bowl, like a Penn State or an Oregon, and we beat them. That looks better, in my opinion, than a loss in the college football playoff first round.
100%.
I get that, but
if you lose to the national champion, then it's like, hey, but you know, the thing is, if we get that far, we won't lose.
An opportunity to play for a national championship, you can never say no. It's like you asking me if I don't want to go play for a state championship, Gary. Dude, if I have that opportunity, I'm going to take it.
Yeah, but you know, it's different. Yeah, it's not the same. You got recruits and stuff and national media and all that.
Everybody calling us Oklahoma.
And the recruits are going to be like, okay, they're that close. Maybe I can improve them.
I can be the difference.
All right.
You got to think both sides, man. You got to believe, man. Believe. Here's my question. If we go to the playoffs, who do you think we can't beat, like, from those top teams?
I don't think
– I think there's only one team that I am not
– There's only one.
That we cannot beat.
Michigan for me.
It's only Michigan.
I think they're the most complete team, even though that they're stealing signs, which it's okay.
You still gotta stop them. So I don't care if they're stealing signs.
I think they're the most complete team. Besides that, I am confident to say I think we can go in to a neutral site game and beat any of those other teams.
Especially too, because you look at the four teams in the top four right now, Michigan has the best quarterback, and it's not even close. Not even close.
We'll see. It'll be fun.
I'm not going to disagree with you there.
Well, we appreciate everybody listening to our Fox Den Sports podcast. Reminder to stay on. We got Gannon coming on here in just a few minutes. We had a little conversation with him earlier, me and Kellen. So make sure you listen to that. I know we've had, I don't know, geez, 50. I get probably 50 emails a week of some source of where's Gannon. It's like, obviously, you know, he's not here because we've told you on the podcast, but it's what it is. But we appreciate it. And I just want to remind everybody that iron sharpens iron.
Please stay safe.
Be savage and not average.
And remember to join the Skulk.
And until next time, good bye,
everybody.
Boomer.
Sooner.
31-30.
41-21.
You are listening to the Fox Den Sports Podcast.
All right, welcome back to the 100th episode of the Fox Den Sports Podcast. And jumping on early is Gannon, who's been out since what, August? Beginning of August, some time frame?
Yeah.
I believe. So we got Kellen and Gannon. Garrett's working right now. And then later on, we'll be joined by Garrett. But so tell us, Gannon, what's happened? What's been going on since you've been away? And where are you? Let's let the audience know.
Well, right now I'm in Stockholm, Sweden. We leave in a couple days. We just hit Norway yesterday. We left this morning. I was in Denmark a couple days ago. We go to Greece in a couple days. This is my 13th country since August, some for very short periods, like one day. So it's hard to count, but I'll still count it.
Well, sure.
I don't know what else.
I know there'll probably be a lot of stuff we'll talk about when you get back, but you know what I mean? But Kellen, you got anything for him first, or
how's it going?
Yeah.
Good. You know,
so
take it all in, man.
You'll be back the day before Thanksgiving. Kellen's flying in the day before Thanksgiving, so I'll be back together here.
I'll be curling our toes.
20 days, curl toes in the carpet, so that'll be pretty fun. What, have you been to Greece, though, have you? Or are you going to different section, or you haven't been?
We haven't been yet.
Okay.
We go for a couple weeks.
So I know you've been to some sporting events. Talk about that real quick, if you can.
I went to Arsenal, Manchester United, which I don't know if our listeners will know, but that's probably one of the most historically rich rivalries in like all of sports history, not even just one sport, but like,
yeah,
it was huge. Arsenal won 3-1, which I predicted. And that's like my favorite part of the story is that I were like all the guys around me. You could tell I took somebody's like season ticket because everybody knew each other.
Yeah.
Except for this random American kid who just sat down in a seat like way before anybody got there. So they were all talking. They were like, who's this guy? But they started, they were cool. They were talking to me and stuff. And they would ask my prediction. I was like, yeah, I got 3-1. And I got, and I was like, I got 3-1. And I described it just how it happened. I said, 2-1, Manchester trying to make a last push to tie it. And then Arsenal just gets one off the counter and like pinpoint, that's exactly what happened. And like the guys around me were just like they were blown away. Some American just showed up out of nowhere.
Use you for betting.
Predicted the game like spot on. I'm pretty proud of that. But
and you went by yourself, right? To that game?
Yeah, yeah. That one was like off the itinerary. They let me skip a museum and go later because they knew that was like, I told them that was like my bucket list.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Especially that matchup. And then we got the whole group went to one in Italy. It was Fiorentina versus, it's like Cagliari or something like that. Yeah. They were the worst team in the league. The away team was.
Was it 2-0? I can't remember on that one.
I don't know.
What?
2-0. It was 2-0.
Describe the two stadiums and the atmospheres. Like, what did you notice the most difference?
I could understand everything at the Arsenal one. Other one, I couldn't understand a word. There was like this, like imagine a student section of college football at the Italian game. They were going all there was not 1 minute without them like screaming and chanting, which is awesome. It was 90 full, like 100 full minutes total of them just pure chants.
Yeah.
Arsenal fans got like, they got rowdy. Like I heard some things that I wouldn't be able to say on this podcast. Like all over the place, like the entire time, beer everywhere, people hitting the seats, which actually is another funny thing. They took the lead 2-1, like maybe 70th minute range, Manchester United. And I was at Arsenal Stadium. I don't know if I said that, but, and this guy like six rows ahead, like was slamming his seat. And he was like walking out of the gate, just like screaming his head off like a kid. The goal ended up getting called back. And then Arsenal scored two more and like ended up winning. But that guy never got to come back. He already left.
Wow.
That was great. The Italy was a lot smaller.
Sure.
Like a lot more compact. Like it was more of like a local feeling to it rather than just like a massive arena. But the Arsenal match was the loudest environment I've ever been in my life.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Wow. Like when they scored their goals, man, like you just forgot what was going on.
Did you see anybody for the other team that when you were there at all, like in the other team's jerseys or not? Manchester?
I saw a few.
I just really wonder if like, because I heard like over there, I don't know, they're not very nice to those.
Oh, no. Had I worn like a Man U jersey, yeah, I would have been like just manhandled. I don't even know.
Yeah.
Like the professor on my trip said he wore it was an Italian jersey, just in a different city. Like they weren't even at a game. He just had a different city like a few years ago when he was on this trip. And this guy just like dumped a beer on him because he was just like, and it like, there wasn't even a game going on. They weren't even rivals. It was just like, yeah, so you got to be careful. So I didn't see many Manchester United fans at all. Nice. But, yeah, it was awesome.
That's pretty cool.
It was awesome.
Yeah, what about food-wise? I know we'll probably talk a lot about that, but off. But, I mean, I know you've said you've had some really good pizza and stuff like that. But
it's been the highlight. Other than that, it's kind of like
– Really?
Nothing too crazy. Yeah, because, I mean, you think about it like – Where have I been? Like,
how does their pizza, like the good pizza you had compared to like Lombardi's or what, you know, when we were in New York City, was it like, is Is it just?
I don't know. Something like the sauce is amazing.
Really?
That was the first, like the sauce and the cheese, which I guess is like 90% of the pizza, but like that alone is just, oh, but then the pepperoni, like it's like, I guess it's salami in America, but it's like different salami here. And it's like, you can't get pepperoni without it being like spicy salami. Oh, dude, and that's the only pizza I got.
And you told me like it's a lot, it's either pepperoni or cheese pretty much, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't got any like Hawaiian or anything?
No.
They probably beat you up.
If I said like Hawaiian, they'd be like, what? But yeah, it's so good. It's like not overly greasy, not super floppy, but just like, it's just perfect, man. Oh, I don't even know. I wish I was better at analyzing so I could describe it better.
So
that's the undercarriage
of the pizza.
That's like the bottom half, is it like nice and crispy? Is it real? Like,
oh, no,
like,
it's perfect. It's not crispy. Flop. No, I never had a crispy one unless it was left over. But I think I had a couple that, like, when I lifted up, it would flop.
Yeah.
But I don't mind those. I'm not against that.
Sure.
But most of them, you lift it up and it'd just be... I will say, the last pizza I had in Italy, right? I'm going on an overnight train in a couple hours. I'm like, I'm just going to go get a pizza. Call it good in Rome. Like, what a good night. I go to this restaurant. Going to the wrong restaurant because I don't have data, so I just start walking. I go to the wrong restaurant. I order a pizza. They look at me like I'm crazy, and they're like, the lady asked the person in the kitchen. She was like, "Can we do pizza right now?" And he was like, "Yeah." They bring it out after like 20 minutes. It's a frozen pizza. Yeah, last pizza in Italy is frozen pizza.
What kind of place holds a frozen pizza?
Yeah,
that was his dinner.
Yeah, it was.
Did you do a review? You know, like
I should have.
I'm just kidding. So,
but I don't know. I just, like I said, like the place I was trying to go was right down the street, and I stopped one. Like I knew by the blue overhang thing, and I went to the wrong blue overhang.
So tell our listeners why you're there, who you're there with, how many folks, and all that. Explain that process if you don't mind.
I mean, there's 38 other students. There's 39 kids. And we got, there's an older couple.
From Harding.
Yeah. An older couple. And then there's another older couple that runs the whole trip, but they switch off. It's like, it's either the husband or the wife, because they have kids. So we have like the guys here with us right now, and then they'll switch off in a few days. And then there's an extra guy from another trip. Because the Italy one, like this solo Italy, got canceled. So he's just helping us out. He's great. Yeah, I don't know. This trip was revamped. We go to so many countries in just Europe alone.
Yeah.
We just learned a bunch of cultural stuff. So like class in England is same kind of process, but obviously much different things versus class in Italy, you know, or like class here in Sweden, Norway, stuff. Is not close to the same as class in Italy, but also we barely have class periods. Like other abroad trips, I know they have like they go to class like 3-5 times a week. We've been like 15 times total, maybe. So like to sit down in a class. Other than that, it's just museums, which is great. So
you've gotten to meet a lot of new people. I mean, I'm assuming so. Gotten to know them pretty well. That's pretty cool.
Oh yeah, yeah, it's a lot of fun. Is that what you said?
Yeah, I thought Kellum was going to say something. It looked like Kellum was getting ready to say something, so I didn't know. No. Well, yeah, that's pretty cool. You've had obviously a blast, and I mean it's flown by for me. I don't know. I'm assuming it's flown by for you too.
Yeah, I keep like checking the Delta app, and it's like 28 days, 20 days, and I'm just like, that's.
I feel like I haven't seen you in forever.
What'd you say?
I said, I feel like I haven't seen you in forever.
When's the last time you saw him? Christmas?
May. Right? That wedding?
Nashville.
Oh, yeah. You're right. Never mind. Man, dadgum. I can't.
Otherwise, yeah, it would have been Christmas.
He's just silly. But yeah. Trying to think what else.
I mean, is there like anything different that people, I mean, are they friendly? Do they know you guys are from out of states? But I mean, are they friendly? Like,
yeah.
Where's like the friendliest places and then maybe one that maybe not so much or whatever, but.
Dude, the Netherlands were like just super rude. We were only there for like a day and a half. Man, they were so rude to me. And like, maybe it's just me, but like every other country, I get along with people. Like Italy, I would make it a, like if I'm ordering gelato, which also was incredible. But yeah, like if I'm ordering gelato, like it would kind of like, we would get along because I'm just trying to learn the words. Like it would kind of come a game. Like they were super friendly. Trying to think of what else. Really, like most countries are super nice, actually, sure. Surprisingly. All you have to do is just kind of like respect them enough to be able to like not annoy them. Paris wasn't nice though. Paris people are obviously just.
I heard Paris is overrated.
True.
I heard like if you're going to France, Paris is not where you should actually go.
True.
Was the food good there in Paris or France? Average.
Yeah. I remember one meal and it wasn't very good, but I think everything else is pretty good.
Do they have French onion soup or do they just call it onion soup?
I don't know. I didn't eat it.
What about fries? Do they call it French fries or just fries?
It's French fries.
Is it really?
Actually, we went to this one restaurant and like, I don't know. It was like a small group of us and they were like, oh yeah, yeah. No, it was in Norway a few days ago. And one of the girls was like, yeah, we got six. Can we find a table? And he's like, yeah, yeah. He's like, we don't have French fries though. We were all like, okay. Like, thanks for letting us know. But no, Paris, it stunk. Like it smelled bad. Like, do you guys know the Louvre? It's like
the museum.
It's the biggest museum in the world, right? Has the Mona Lisa. It smelled like poop. Like, and we couldn't tell if it was like one guy that just dropped one massive nuke. Or if it was just like a pile up of like 20 days, maybe. I don't know. But
I heard Paris is just dirty.
No, like, it is. The sewage system is terrible.
If you want to tour actual France, I've looked at some other places because Paris is just like touristy and just dirty. And like, it's just the face of it. That's not actually France.
It's not.
What I've heard. Obviously, I haven't been. But
we took a cool. It's actually weird because I can talk about it like I've been. But that's weird. We took like a bus around. That was cool. We took like a bus. We saw all the big landmarks and stuff. But like, and the Eiffel Tower obviously was sick at nighttime. But like, I don't know. It was just kind of like, like if it wasn't so grand of like a thing to say, like I've been to Paris, I wouldn't have even liked it that much. I don't think. Does that make sense? Like the status of it is the only reason I'm like.
That's exactly what I've heard. So it makes sense. That's why I was curious.
Yeah, we went to this one. During the cruise, we went like had a day trip. It was Avignon or something like that, France. That place is beautiful. No touristy, a lot of greenery stuff. People were really nice there, actually. But
what about the churches there? Have y'all been to very many different churches? Is it different? Or because I know you said you had to have wine for communion.
Yeah, dude, yeah. It's nasty. Oh my gosh, like. It like burns down my throat. Like
was it like a red wine or like a rosé?
We've had both.
Rosé.
Yeah, like we got to we had a free travel week, right? So we just kind of like we just had to make do. And we were like, let's just do church. Like let's go to Disneyland Paris all day. We'll come home and do church. And they had rosé. Like they had free rosé, and it was like this big thing. Like imagine a big, big, like giant thing of wine, right, in the fridge. We drink. Like that much of it, we felt terrible because we like totally opened the wine and just like didn't use it. But it's nasty. But sure. Yeah, I went to one in England, one in Italy. Other than that, it's a lot of just like on our own, like the group does it or a subgroup does it.
What about shopping or grocery stores? I don't know if you've been to anything like that, but is it like completely different or is it just, you know what I mean? I mean,
it's a lot of the same. Prices are great at some places, like,
yeah,
but then prices are terrible at others. I don't know, like a lot of the go-to snacks are Pringles because it's like a good, you can take it on the go. It's a good snack.
He saw a Roughnecks shirt somewhere,
but like wise, yeah.
Yeah,
he said that to me. I was like, that doesn't even make sense at all.
That's crazy, but that's cool though. But it's different.
Wait, what happened?
The Roughneck shirt you sent pictures of?
Yeah, did you see that? Send that to you?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was weird. Like,
yeah.
Because I was just looking through and it was just like, I was like, what? Like, Vienna, Austria?
How much have you been able to keep up with American sports at all, if any?
As much as I kind of want to, if that makes sense. Like basketball, I've been totally back into it. Like, I've been more into it here than I am on campus.
Yeah.
Because I have enough more time. Like, I watched more games at the start of the season than I did.
You saw Harden got traded to Clippers. Yes. I mean, whatever.
Praise God.
How do they show like football there, the NFL at all? No,
I just use a little like laptop is all I need. But
that's interesting, man.
Thunder, man.
Yeah.
Playoffs. We haven't even looked that great, and we're still 3-1. Yeah, that's the best part.
Garrett's already been to the first two games.
I know, big jerk.
He said he's going to five out of the first six home games.
Is he really? I'm going to Atlanta and Cleveland and San Antonio. Yeah.
You're going to San Antonio?
Yeah.
Oh.
CEO Victor. So hopefully, I'm assuming he'll play. But we'll see. It'll be fun.
Oh, yeah, it's the play-in tournament too, right?
And then when you guys are here, we'll have to look and see any games or anything like that too. So that'd be kind of
cool. I saw a couple that looked good, but I can't remember what they were.
But no, that's pretty cool. But yeah, we know you're tired and you got to hit the sack here, but we had to, this being our 100th episode, we had to make sure you were on it.
Had to do it.
It's crazy. It's already 100 episodes for us. You know what I mean? But that's pretty cool that we made it that far, and we're going to do the other 100. So we're going to probably try to get all the next 100 done all in the Christmas break. So just kidding. We'll have one topic per episode. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, but yeah, we don't do the numbers anymore. So, kind of weird, you know.
Well, weird. Yeah.
But Gannon, yeah, we'll be seeing you here in the next 20 days, and then same day Kellen comes in. But then we might be able to do a podcast, all of us while everybody's here, but maybe not. I don't know. Just kind of depends. I know we got a lot going on. Miles got a lot going on, and it'll be Thanksgiving, and Gannon will be wiped out. I guarantee you on Thanksgiving Day. But
I'll be all good, man. I probably won't be, but
we'll see. But yeah, we'll be back here shortly with Garrett and Kellen, and then we'll go into the Oklahoma and Kansas game, talk a little bit about that, and we'll cry a little bit, and we'll talk a little bit about that. But until then, we'll see Gannon here shortly. See you, G.
You've been listening to the Fox Den Sports Podcast with Todd, Kellen, Garrett, and Gannon. Find us on Facebook at Fox Den Sports. That's Fox with two X's. Drop us an email at foxdensports@yahoo.com. And be sure to share this podcast with other sports fans in your life. This has been Fox Den Sports.